While we remain standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon today, 1 John chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 3 through 6. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you grant us ready ears to hear and limbs to labor to show that we belong to you. Continue your wondrous work of changing us into the image of Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name, and all of God's children said,
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. By this we know that we have come to know him. John speaks of knowing God, of knowing him. To know him means to have a relationship with the Lord. It means to be in fellowship with the Father and with the Son. John says, by this we know that we have come to know him. John's answer, what is it? John's answer is clear. If we keep his commandments. It's not if that guy keeps his commandments or if that gal keeps his commandments. If we keep his commandments. This will be shown in our lives. Our conduct reveals whether or not we know the Lord. To know God is shown in a changed life. This passage is clear, it is brief, and it is blunt. Those who know the Lord, verse 3 says, they will keep his commandments. Verse 5 says, they will keep his word. Verse 6 says, they will walk in the same manner as he walked, keeping commandments, keeping his word, walking as he walked. For John, it is not sufficient to just talk about knowing the Lord, even if you talk a great deal. Knowing mountains of theology is not sufficient. Even knowing 1 Corinthians 1:20, the deep things of God, such things do not show that we know him. John once again dispels the idea that just saying so is sufficient. John points us away from the commentary of our mouths and points us to the commentary of our conduct. How do you live? Some seem to know a lot, even a lot about the faith, resembling a concordance or an encyclopedia. And some even talk about it a lot. Others, not so much. They would not know the Greek word for self-control, but they live lives of self-control. They are marked by faith, hope, and love. To encounter an elderly saint, a widow or a widower who has walked with the Lord, knowing the scriptures from their youth, there may not be a lot of words coming out of their mouths, but the commentary of their lives is something that is lovely. A lovely widow, a faithful elderly man. The Apostle Paul was speaking about widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He says, a widow is to be put on the list. The early church had lists. The Lord has lists. There's a lot of widows out there, but not every widow is in the church. A widow is to be put on the list if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one man. And then Paul goes on to describe what this widow was like and is like. In 1 Timothy 5:10, he says, she would be having a reputation of good works. How is she known? She's like Tabitha, marked by good deeds. She has a reputation for good works. She has brought up children. If she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, assisted those in distress, and again, if she has devoted herself to every good work. This widow is marked by an active life. John is concerned once again to deal with claims and statements by some, claims that are contrary to what's actually the case. Such abundant knowing and talking doesn't always show someone who knows the Lord. Paul once referred to those who were always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always learning. It's another lesson. It's another this, another that. But they were never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're packed with knowledge, but not knowledge of the truth. That same passage, Paul spoke of some who possessed a form of godliness. You look at them and they've got this form of godliness, and yet their lives show that they have denied the power of godliness. There's no outworking. There's no practice. There's no shaping. For some, it seems as if the answer will be found in another lesson, another sermon, another Bible study, a conference, an event, a camp, or a retreat. Let's watch more YouTube videos, or let's subscribe to another podcast, all the while not doing what they already know they should be doing. Our Lord and John puncture that idea. Now, it's not that knowledge is bad. Not at all. We are supposed to love the Lord our God with every fiber of our being, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The mind matters. We are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. However, knowledge by itself does not make us right with God. Neither do my claims or my statements about how much I know about God. Tragically, some can talk the paint off of a barn. Some could even talk the ears out of a cornfield. In Bunyan's classic Pilgrim's Progress, Christian and faithful are walking along the way and they encounter a rather verbose fellow, a loquacious man, a chatty guy, appropriately named Talkative. Talkative was at the ready. That garrulous guy could really talk. He was willing to go on and on, full discourses at the ready. Name the topic and he was off to the races. Blather at the ready. He was willing to remonstrate or to reflect or to refer to just about anything, especially holy things, things which pertain to the Bible, to the things of God, to the Christian life. And at first hearing, Talkative sounded like he had it all together. Pilgrim Christian, however, saw right through the mists of his mouth and explained to faithful. He thinks that hearing and saying will make a good Christian, and thus he deceives his own soul. The devil quoted scripture to the Lord. Has anybody in here ever played Bible trivia? I mean, it was a thing years ago. I don't want to see you. I see a show of hand. One hand there. Two? Three? No? Okay, Bible trivia. It's a hunch that the devil would likely scald any one of us in Bible trivia. John here in this passage is showing his pastoral affection for the congregation in that he wants them to have the assurance and the confidence of knowing that they are in fellowship with the Father and the Son, that they know Him. So John affectionately addresses this very topic, and he does so by using the words, "by this." By this you will know it. By this it will be shown. By this it will be made clear. By this it will be demonstrated that you know Him. By this. John uses those words, by this, throughout his epistle. You could look them up yourself. I think about 12 times in English. By this. By this. How do I know this? John says, by this. Our passage today begins and ends with a "by this." You could call them bookends, the bookends of "by this." Verse 3, "by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments." And then at the end of verse 5, which goes into verse 6, right at the end of verse 5, "by this we know that we are in him." That's what I want to know. "The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." John says that we know that we have come to know him by not by our knowledge or our words, but by our adherence to the commandments, keeping his word and walking in the same manner as he walked. Now, saying is not all bad. John is not commending saying without doing. If you're going to say it, do it. Verse 4, John flips this over. Take a look at this. "The one who says," don't just say it, "I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments, that one is a liar and the truth is not in him." Even if someone says, "You know what, I have Jesus. I have Jesus." Even if someone goes so theological as to say, "Jesus is my advocate. Jesus is my cover. He is my paraclete and my propitiation." John would say, "So what? What's it look like? Let me see it." Even if it's true, what difference does that make? John says that the difference is seen in a life which is changed and still changing. He doesn't tolerate the hypocrisy of mouthing it and not living it. To use a phrase from C.S. Lewis in The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis says, regarding hypocrisy, "We have shouted the name of Christ and we have enacted the service of Molech." Such things ought not to be. Keeping the commandments. By this you will know. Now, some might fear that this is a denial of the gospel or a smuggling of works into salvation. Reality is, you cannot say that you believe in Jesus and live like a citizen of hell. You cannot say, "I'm a follower of Jesus," and there be no change in your life. So the Lord stops us in our tracks and points to his commandments and his ways. However, some seem to have an allergy to any suggestion of the place of works or obedience, and they try to keep their distance from deeds. You know, there is a connection, biblically speaking, between our belief and our behavior. Belief and our behavior. We are not to separate claims from conduct or conduct from our claims. We're not supposed to say, "Oh, you can believe one thing and your behavior can be something altogether different." We are not supposed to separate faith from faithfulness. It's not possible. We've received a wonderful sermon series in James. Pastor Jeffrey's work in James and presentation has been wonderful. "Show me your faith" in James chapter 2. All of James is about this. The Wednesday night Bible studies. What does it look like to be the workmanship of Christ Jesus created unto good works? Ephesians 2:10. We're in that now in Ephesians chapter 4. This is very clear. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. A young man, a lad, distinguishes himself by what he does. You want to do a scratch and sniff on a young man or a young woman? Watch how they behave. My father used to say, in a number of wonderful statements, when he was, in a sense, reflecting upon Proverbs 20, 11, he said, "Son, I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are speaking too loud. I can't hear what you're saying because I'm watching what you're doing. Trees are still known by their fruits." And by the way, the idea among some that we can separate faith from faithfulness or belief from behavior, that's actually demonic. We've seen it in James chapter 2, verse 19. "Oh, you believe God is one? You've got some monotheistic theology in there? You believe God is one? Good job. Even the demons believe, and they tremble." But to separate some form of faith, some form of belief, some holding to an article of the faith and not living accordingly, that's demonic. I'd like you to see that there is a connection between belief and behavior. If you would, join me in Hebrews chapter 3. We're just going to turn to the left a little bit. Hebrews chapter 3. I'd like you to see this in the text of Scripture for yourself. Hebrews chapter 3. I've got a series of questions for you, and then we're going to read these verses. You can answer them out loud if you'd like, but answer them in loud if you'd like. Answer them inside. Who fell in the wilderness? Okay, you're thinking about that. Good, you've got the answer in your head. Who fell in the wilderness? Okay, how long did they wander in the wilderness? Did our fathers in the faith wander in the wilderness? Okay, last question. Why did their bodies fall in the wilderness? And if we're to take a poll, what could happen is, here's the question. Who fell? Okay, some of our fathers fell in the wilderness. How long did they wander in the wilderness? 40 years. Okay, I've got that. Good answer. And then if I was to stand back and to say, okay, why did they fall in the wilderness? Somebody could say, you know, it's because they didn't believe God. Other people would say it's because they didn't obey God. So faith and faithfulness, or unfaith and unfaithfulness. So let's read this passage now. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Yes, those are the ones who provoked the Lord. Verse 17, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? Okay, there are answers. Some of our fathers provoked the Lord, their bodies fell in the wilderness. Verse 18, and so here's the last question. Why? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who were disobedient, those who disobeyed. So the one people that answered, see, I told you I was right. If you disobeyed, they were the ones that fell in the disobedience. But if you look at the next verse, you're going to see that there's an inseparable connection between disobedience and disbelief. Look at the next verse, verse 19. So we see, here's our conclusion, that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. We can't go toward the demonic separation of belief and behavior. Can't do that. They go together. We cannot separate what it is that the Lord has joined together. So there's a connection between belief and behavior, faith and faithfulness. Jesus, Luke 6, 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? You've got statements, Lord, Lord, and then you don't act like it. In a few moments, we're going to join together at the Lord's table. Faith and faithfulness, belief and behavior are conjoined at the table of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not say, when you come to the table of the Lord, what I'd like you to do is to start cogitating, meditating, debating. I'd like you to think about what in the world this might mean. No, the Lord says, do this with the bread. Do this as often as you drink with the cup. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, take and eat. We are trained as believers, do it. Not sit there going, do it. This type of life, we're back in 1 John chapter 3. This type of life reveals the love of God active. The love of God active. Verse 5, whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Perfected, what does that mean? It means that the love of God is there, it is present, it has come to maturity. It is bearing fruit. It is expressed. It is the love of God which first changes us and then reveals that we are changed. By the way, this is going to be seen throughout 1 John, so I'm not going to belabor it here. But our passage continues. At the end of verse 5 now, once again it says, by this. By this we know that we are in Him. That's what I want to know. Am I in Him? And you can imagine John's pastoral heart when someone comes and says, I don't know if I'm in a good relationship with the Lord. Well, how have you been living? Well, I've been living like a scoundrel. That's why. Have you embraced His commandments? Have you kept His word? I don't even think about His word. I'm concerned. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. You walk like Christ? By this. All right. What I'd like to do now, there's our passage. It's brief. I'd like to wrap up with 3 points. If you want to get the conclusion, here it is. 3 points. John is clear. Number 2, it is also clear. And number 3, where do I start? Okay? In summary, you just heard the sermon. First point by way of conclusion, John is clear. We can try to do all kinds of scriptural stretches and biblical gymnastics and say, that really bothers me. John is clear. There's no wiggle room here with regard to knowing Him, being in fellowship with the Father and the Son. John is clear. We cannot say, you know what, though? I have good thoughts about the Lord. John does not allow us to reduce this to just saying the right things, giving Sunday school answers or some form of political God bless you talk. John speaks of keeping His commandments, keeping His word, and walking in the same manner as He walked. John is clear. There's the first point by way of conclusion today. Second point, it is also clear that not one of us does this all the time. It is also clear that not one of us always keeps the commandments. It is also clear that not one of you or we always keeps His word. It is also true that not one of us always walks just as He walked. Does this mean that I do not have a relationship with Him? That I do not know Him? Does this mean that I am not in fellowship with the Father and the Son? The pastoral pulse of John's affection continues. John does not mean that our keeping of the commandments or keeping of the word or walking in the ways is a perfect obedience. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. Don't even go there. John has also just recently instructed us to confess our sins. If we say we have no sins, we're a liar and we're calling God a liar. It is expected, it is known that sin will be present. But that's not all. John also says, I'm writing to you so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is also our propitiation, the covering for our sin. John knows that you're going to sin. So what in the world is John saying here? By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. John is referring to the doing and the obeying as the overall direction of our lives. John's focus is on the general direction, not the detours. John is focusing on the overall path and the practice, not the potholes. Imagine somebody that is going to just drill down into this and go, that's contradictory. Well, imagine somebody backpacking and they're boot breaks or a strap on their backpack breaks and they pull off to the side of the trail and they're going to repair that. Does that mean they're no longer backpacking? There's this tendency to look at life as if it's a snapshot rather than the Lord's entire video of His faithfulness being worked out. John knows that we will sin. The Lord knows that we will sin and He has provided for us. So what does that mean? Our embrace of the commandments means that we acknowledge what the Lord says. He is holy, we're not. And we go on from there. John is dealing with the overall path, our overall practice, not the potholes. So there, two of the 3 points by way of conclusion. John is clear. It is also clear that we don't obey this perfectly. Well, third point, where do I start? Where do I start? Lord willing, next week we'll take a look. John will present the first and best proving ground for keeping God's commandments and keeping His word and walking as He walked. John will present the first and best proving ground for this, which is a commandment which is both old and new. It's one you've had from the beginning, and it's also brand new. It's loving one another, loving your brothers, loving your sisters. That which has always identified the children of God, by this you shall know that you know Him. That which has always marked or identified the children of God, do you love one another? But there's more to it. It's also that arena that is closest to us. Those who know us the best, those whom we know the best, I wonder where we're going to draw the lines with God's commandments. So what comes next in this passage, Lord willing, next week, will be verses 7 through 11, an old and new commandment which you have had, that we love one another. May the Lord be kind to us as He bores out our ears and enlivens our limbs to follow Him. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks through Jesus Christ, our elder brother, the faithful and great shepherd of the sheep. Enable us to have eyes fixed upon Him and to walk even as He walked. You have granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness, so we have no excuses. Father, we praise You for Your provision, and we look forward to adorning the gospel in the way that we speak and think and act, to the glory of Your name and the edification of one another. Through Jesus we pray, and all of God's children said, Amen.